I pick one. We can just play three headlines and a lie.
Fantastic.
Who could have thunk that?
Who could have predicted this?
Who would have seen that coming, and why didn't anyone warn them?
Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Happy Friday, TGIF. I am your host, Kristen Bry. To my right, Jane Matinair. How are you doing today?
I am well, my friend. How about yourself?
I am also well. I am ready for the weekend.
I think we all are.
I am certainly ready for the weekend. And our guest, our fine guest yesterday, George Stanley, sent me an email yesterday after he was here, and he goes, do you know where that Hello Wisconsin comes from? And of course, my millennial brain was, that 70s show? And no, that 70s show stole it from Cheap Trick.
Which is a Wisconsin band.
Which is a Rockford, Illinois band.
Oh, it's from Rockford. That's right.
So he wrote me back and I said, no, I don't. I mean, I know it's not probably. The way he said it, I was like, I know it's not actually from that 70s show because you probably have a story to tell me. So this is the real story. And some people probably know this, but maybe my age does not. So Cheap Trick from Rockford, Illinois, they were big rock stars in the late 70s. And I've heard of Cheap Trick before. I've heard of the band. But at the time, the drinking age was 21. In Illinois. So when they were kids, all their gigs in the early 70s were up across the border at bars and clubs in Wisconsin where they could drink legally at 18, which really meant 15 or 16 if you had a fake ID.
Depending on how
And then he said, so I'm told.
That's what I've heard.
Because of course George did not do this.
Of course not.
So they would start their shows shouting out, hello, Wisconsin! So when they did this theme song for the 70s show, they reached back to their own past and added that at the end.
That is awesome.
Isn't that a great story?
Yeah, what a great story.
That makes me like that 70s show even more as far as how they, like the quintessential 70s in Wisconsin, like wink, because always wink.
Yes.
Yes. So there's some fun Friday facts for you as far as our what's now we've adopted as our theme music was that 70s show theme music and it originally comes from Cheap Trick.
That is great. George is so wonderful to talk to.
Oh, yeah.
So many stories and just so much knowledge and yeah, it was wonderful having him here.
It was funny because at one of the commercial breaks he goes, well, you know, I'm a writer, not a talker. I was like, you're talking just fine.
He did fine.
No, he was great. He was great. All right. Well, we at 11:30 today, we have another great guest that I'm really excited to talk to. Tammy Pfeiffer, who I found this was a long, like in-depth piece in Politico that I found out about this. And the Politico article is called One Woman is Holding Politicians Accountable for Nasty Speech. It's Changing Politics. And so she is part of a group called Unite, which is actually founded by Tim Shriver, who is the JFK would have been his uncle.
Right.
And he was, or maybe still is, the head of Special Olympics. And I found out from this article, through founding Unite, is some of the emotional and anger management that they were teaching for kids, they're now trying to teach to adults.
Better late than never.
And so Unite does that, but one of the aspects of Unite is this thing called a Dignity Index, which is a scale that is used to give a score to politicians' dignity. And so Tammy is part of that, and she's part of the founding kind of group that has brought this, tested it. And so I am so excited to talk to her. She's from Utah. Which, if there's ever a state that is more Wisconsin nice, it might be Utah.
Probably.
It is one of the states where there was two candidates who did like a joint ad together just to like really be civil. And so that's coming up at 11:30. But to start off today and this hour, I think we can't not acknowledge that it's been a year.
Yes.
Since Russia sent tens of thousands of troops across the border to Ukraine. And kicked off you know, what could still lead to World War III.
It's, I don't think anyone, well, certainly Vladimir Putin thought it would be done in a month.
Yes. I mean, I think, I'm trying to remember, because we didn't have this radio show yet, and talking about it at my last gig, but also just every single podcast that I would listen to regularly, from NPR, The Daily, Ezra Klein, The Bulwark, like all, every, for a month, I felt like every single show was talking about Russia and Ukraine and taking different angles of it, taking a historical angle and trying to understand Putin, and just in not obsession, but like the high level of interest that this war was having across the media a year ago. And it's not that it's not still there. Like, it's certainly, I mean, we don't talk about it a lot in this show because this is a Wisconsin show, and trying to talk about Wisconsin politics, national politics, and global politics is a little too much for me. I don't know about you, Jane. It's a little too much for my brain to try to keep that all in my brain. But it's in the news still. But I just remember those, like, month or two of just it being everywhere. And everyone really saying, being so surprised week after week that Ukraine was withstanding, at times winning. And even a year still, I mean, I think so far, people, as I've read, consider this last year Ukraine to be winning. But it's also, there's no end in sight.
No, there's not, unfortunately. And I just don't see that Vladimir Putin is ever going to concede anything, because that will be an enormous humiliation.
Yeah. Well, and just the tens of thousands of Russians who are getting drafted to fight this war. And it also made me reflect on the fact that besides Americans who've served and have gone to war, we have no idea what it's like to have your home be just wrecked by war. No, I mean, the closest thing is attacks that have happened. I mean, I would say of living Americans.
Right.
Pearl Harbor, 9/11. But as far as every other, while we are very regularly in wars as a country, usually never in the last 100 years and more on our soil. And so understanding what it's like to have to flee your country, understanding what it's like to stay. And that was kind of what struck me this morning, as far as not even really being able to comprehend what this last year has been like.
And if it does come to a conclusion, and hopefully it will come to a conclusion, the rebuilding of that country is going to be almost, I don't even know how you wrap your head around, because they've, you know, the bombings that they've done in Ukraine, they've just destroyed these cities. Mm-hmm. You know, imagine Madison and Milwaukee and Green Bay being shelled constantly. Your biggest cities.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the infrastructure damage and the, yeah, it's hard to wrap your head around.
But I also, I mean, I don't think it's going to, I mean, it's at least what it sounds like as far as the support. Like, President Biden has basically said he'll defend Ukraine as long as it takes. I feel like most of the NATO allies are in the same camp as far as, like, trying to walk the line from it escalating, but also not backing down as far as, like, what this means. And I think even, you know, I know there's more criticism from the right as far as how much money we're sending, and obviously we have problems here, and you know, it should be monitored. And but I do believe when the idea is, if Putin were to get Ukraine, what's to stop him from taking another country.
Exactly. This is a fight for democracy around the world.
Yeah.
It is. Because Putin won't stop. And if you ever listen to Matt Flynn in the afternoon, he has very, very strong opinions about about Mr. Putin.
Which are warranted. Yes. I mean, I don't use the same language as Matt Flynn, but like, you know, it's like, I don't think, I'm not Tucker Carlson. I'm not defending Putin. I'm not, you know, look at him shirtless on his horse. Look how manly he is. Oh God, why couldn't we have a leader like that? Remember that whole thing?
Yes.
When it was like the comparison of Obama on his bicycle with a helmet on to Putin on a horse with no shirt. And they're like, yeah, that's what we want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's so, yeah. I mean, I don't really have much else to say that's profound beyond just reflecting and acknowledging that it's been a year, because it's something that, as soon as, like I said, the media is not covering it nonstop, it becomes easier to forget.
Absolutely. It kind of fades away.
Because it's not our families, our extended families, our home, in our face. And so it's only through by paying attention to the news that you know that it's even happening and that you even can get upset at how much money the government's spending. Because if you weren't watching the news, you wouldn't actually know or feel it. But it does. It is affecting the world.
Without a doubt.
Between the breadbasket and the oil prices and everything. And so this is the ramifications of a global impact. But yeah.
Give it up for the Ukrainian people.
That is.
And their resilience. It's amazing.
That is very true. All right. Well, this is As Goes Wisconsin, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and we are happy to be here this Friday. It's not too cold. I mean, it's 20 degrees. It's not. The sun makes it feel fine.
The sun is really nice. And by Sunday, it's going to be 42 degrees.
So do we have another snowstorm next week then?
I'm not going to tell you. Well, let it be a surprise.
Just the weekly cycle. Snowmageddon on Thursday. 40 degrees by Sunday.
Hey, you know, they have blizzard warnings in San Diego.
What?
There are blizzard warnings for San Diego, California.
Has that ever happened before?
No. This is the first time.
I'm like flabbergasted.
Yes. Crazy weather. This isn't normal.
They have blizzard warnings in San Diego.
Yes.
Has it? I mean, I have friends there now. I feel like I'm compelled to text them and say, how cold is it right now? Because San Diego is even nicer than LA, and LA people freak out when it's 50 degrees. So I can only imagine, because even up in San Francisco, in the six years I lived there, I saw hail. I never saw snow.
Right.
And that's a lot further north.
Oh, yeah. No, this is crazy.
It's not like a windstorm.
National Weather Service San Diego issues first ever blizzard warning.
Wow. No one is safe.
No.
No one is safe from crazy weather. If, if it's hitting San Diego, no one is safe. Jeez.
Blizzard warning for the San Bernardino Mountains. Gusty winds, torrential rain, heavy mountain snowfall. Battering San Diego County.
Wow. Well, I'll have to get an on the ground report from my friends who live there.
Check in with them.
Who left Milwaukee.
Oh.
For San Diego to live closer to the beach and have good weather again.
Beautiful weather.
And this is a great opportunity to be like, hey, how's that going for you? But it's warmer here than there.
It's reverse weather taunting.
All right. Well, this was, I guess, troubling. I think you found this. So newspaper accused of spreading anti-LGBTQ hate speech to every resident in Wisconsin town. And I think that's the part that seems troubling. It's one thing to, if you own the paper, and I don't even know if this is op-eds or the where in the paper this is getting, but it sounds like the bigger issue is that people have unsubscribed and yet they're still getting the paper delivered to them.
Yeah, and they don't want it.
And they do not want it.
Right.
And so this is in Evansville, which is, I think, south or just west of, or northwest of Janesville. So south of Madison. And residents are accusing the Evansville Review of spreading anti-LGBTQ hate speech to everyone in town. And so it's in the form of ads, editorials, and letters. So it's not the actual journalism.
Okay.
But it's gone so far as to say LGBTQ plus people are perverts who are grooming children for sexual abuse. Which is not true. As far as, let's just put that out there, full stop, not true. The editor of the paper did not immediately respond when asked for a comment. She did proclaim freedom of speech and said the publication prints content that doesn't necessarily reflect any single viewpoint. But
so if you've got the money, you can buy an ad.
Yeah. And or I mean, if they but they still choose whose editorials get printed or not.
True.
Right. And so this was a city council member, Corey Neely, and he said that he was fed up with the paper, that they kept sending him the material even after he contacted management and was like, I've unsubscribed to this years ago. I don't want to receive this. And I guess it's a running joke in town that, oh, you get the review? So does everyone else that does not want it.
Thanks, but no thanks.
It's like, it's funny because you know how you just sometimes can't unsubscribe from some email newsletter you signed up for?
Yes.
And even though you hit it, then there's some other, like, I feel like my, is it Action Now or what? There's one of the like political campaign newsletter things that are all kind of one big chain. And so I get in the height of campaign season, because I feel like I signed up for one thing under this umbrella once, I just get flooded. Like I was getting Nancy Pelosi things last year. I get stuff from like all over, like people I can't vote for.
Oh my.
And I like, it's like I go through the process of trying to unsubscribe because it's like I don't want these, especially because political newsletters are the worst of like the hyperbole and it's just awful. That's what this feels like, except it's like a real physical paper. And you're like, stop wasting materials. No one wants this.
Save the trees.
And so, but yeah, I mean, it sounds like it's also that one of the guys, there's like one guy who is kind of behind all these things. And so he said that he finds some of the things that are happening in the city very concerning. And some of it was that he basically said he has a moral obligation to write the anti-LGBTQ content after he learned that there's some kids in town who are questioning their gender identity and experimenting with gender expression. So it's his moral obligation to tell them that they're being groomed. And then he also, I guess, this is kind of surprising. City Council flew the rainbow flag on the same pole as the American flag, and he was very concerned about that.
Okay.
And his quote was, I'm seeing this change in a time in our country, and I see it as very destructive. Obviously, I can't change the world, but as an individual, I feel like I should speak up. And I guess this, and he's found a paper that will let him do that, which I guess, I mean, it's up to the paper, but I do think, how are they not the same? It goes, I go back to the newsletter thing. It's like, You can't just keep sending emails to people once they've unsubscribed. But that's actually illegal. Yeah. Like, if you were sending unsolicited emails, you have to have an unsubscribe button on your email. So you can opt out. And you can't just keep sending stuff after someone's opted out. And so I don't really know how that works for newspapers.
We'll have to ask George.
Yes, exactly. Although I feel like most newspapers are not in the business of giving it away to people who are not like paying or wanting it. So I don't know. But sorry for the residents of Evansville who have to have this litter show up.
Get a bird.
All right. When we come back, Tammy Pfeiffer from the Dignity Index and Unite will be here. I'm so excited for this conversation. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And I have to say, one of the things that we're an opinionated show, but I think we also strive to be a fair show and strive to, in our very purple state, have conversations with people who we don't always agree with, to try to find ways to have policies that are the best for the most amount of people. But we're not immune in this state from nasty political rhetoric. And so I was so excited when I came across this headline and found this article in Politico of one woman is holding politicians accountable for nasty speech. It's changing politics. And she is here with us today, Tammy Pfeiffer, who is she's with Unite, but it's also the Dignity Index, which is basically a scale that gives politicians a score on their rhetoric. And so I'm so excited to talk to you about this, Tammy.
Well, thanks for having me. And it is a challenge, I think, in any state that we live in. So Wisconsin's not immune from, Utah's not immune. The country really is not immune from this.
Absolutely. And I was joking because you guys are really known for your niceness. I mean, isn't that the state where there was two candidates who had a joint political ad?
So that was our current governor, Spencer Cox, and his opponent, Chris Peterson, during their campaign 2 years ago, ran an ad where they appeared together. And it went viral for a very good reason. And yes, we reach highs, the highest of highs, but there are times in our state also that we can reach some lows as well. I think it's the same with everywhere and with every person personally, right?
Absolutely. And so you have an unbelievable background. So you were a special ed teacher. You are a high level Republican appointee in state government. You were a member of the Tabernacle Choir, which is incredible. Your grandmother did 10. Like you've done a lot of different things. How did you find yourself involved in the organization, which is Unite, and then the Dignity Index, which is part of that?
So about, I guess it's been 4 years ago, Tim Shriver came to speak in Salt Lake City, and I was in my role as the governor's education policy advisor, and had the assignment to go to this convening. It was the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and the keynote was Tim Shriver. My friend said, hey, he's a Special Olympics chair. You'll have something in common. It's like, okay, whatever. So I went. It was a very busy week for me, and I quite frankly didn't feel like I had time to go, but I went. And Tim gave this presentation about marrying what we call social-emotional learning skills, empathy, and perspective taking, the things that we teach in schools. He said, what if we could apply that to politics? And it's like, all of a sudden my world made sense to me. And it's like, this is the next thing I need to be doing, because we were talking about this idea of improving and increasing the amount of social and emotional learning happening in our schools. But it was like, could our politicians also build empathy, take perspectives, work with people who are different than them, disagree without being disagreeable? And so at that moment, I felt like whatever this guy's selling, I'm buying. And, this is going to be real. I just felt like the next part of my life when I finished my term with the governor, that this would be something I was interested in. And sure enough, I got a chance the next year when the pandemic hit. I had a lot of free time on my hands. We weren't singing in the choir, and we had shut down at the Capitol. And so I started volunteering, just online volunteering, with his group called Unite.
And so what does what is the mission of Unite, and what is kind of the work that you do as that organization? And then we'll get to the Dignity Index.
So the work of Unite is really to find a way, and it's a young organization. It was started at the end of 2018. In fact, in 2019, when I heard Tim speak, they were trying out messages. They were, you know, looking to see what their work to do that would be uniquely Unite's work to do. And our goal is to heal the toxic political and cultural divides in the country, that we want to bring people together in common purpose and to solve problems that we can only solve together. Tim has said that the problems of the whole can only be solved by the whole. And to do that, we have to unite together around that common good. We don't need to unite and be the same and think the same and have, you know, the exact same opinions on everything. But we believe we should unite around this principle, which is that everyone should be treated with dignity. And when we do that, then we can start to solve problems. So that's Unite's mission. And then the Dignity Index is a major project of Unite. So this is really our lead project right now.
And so, if I understand it correctly, because it was the article was great, and it's also on the website as far as being able to rank statements, right? As far as different statements that you can see that a politician made, and kind of where does that fall? And eight was the highest for contempt, right?
Eight was the highest for dignity. Number one, the bottom of the barrel is contempt. So
okay, I missed
one is the lowest. Yeah, no, it's okay. Well, we actually, it's interesting you say that, because we've toyed, you know, we've tried different ways to look at it, from high to low to high. But one is, if you think about when you just sink really to the bottom of the type of language you can use, that's one is the language that has the most contempt, and eight has the most dignity.
And so how has it been applied, or how will it be applied to try to hopefully influence politicians in how they're talking?
Right. Well, and I like that you nailed it when you said we use it to rate speech, political speech, not people. And when we first were trying it out, it's like, well, I'm going to give that guy a 3. But we immediately realized that if we're going to be judging people, then we're violating our own principles of dignity and showing dignity. So we're rating speech, people's political speech, because on any given day, on any given issue, I could be an 8, I could be a 6, I could be a hopefully not a 2, but you never know. So I'm dynamic. I can change. People can change. So pointing out the speech that they're using that can lead to either increased dignity and problem solving, or could lead to contempt and honestly violence, as Amanda Ripley pointed out in her article, we believe showcasing, you know, what that speech looks like and rating that speech helps people understand better that the words have meaning and that what we say matters, and it can lead us in a variety of directions. We hope to keep people at the top of the scale, which is a 5 through an 8. And so in Utah, we pilot tested this in Utah, and we used our midterm elections. We had two fairly high profile Senate candidates, Senator Mike Lee and Evan McMullen, who was running as an independent, a Republican and independent. And then we had 4 House races. So we piloted it, seeing, can we validate this instrument? Basically, the scale is an instrument. Just like any other, you know, like a personality instrument or an IQ instrument, it's an instrument. And we wanted to validate it to see if we really could say a 7 means a 7 to all of the raters that were looking at it, all the coders. And it means what we say it means. A 7 meaning we fully engage with the other side. And we look not only for their similarities, but also our differences. So we applied the scale to political speech during these midterm elections. And what we found was that we had a very diverse group of coders from the University of Utah. They were politically diverse. They were racially diverse. There was a little bit of age diversity, not as much as you would, you know, hope, but it's a college campus. But we had some, you know, graduate students and returning students, non-traditional students. And we had a very high degree of reliability in our scores. So we came away very excited that our instrument did indeed measure what we wanted it to measure with consistency and inter-rater reliability. And so that was kind of the first part of what we were testing in the pilot.
Our guest is Tammy Pfeiffer. She is the Chief of Staff and Director of Operations at Unite. And we're also zeroing in today talking about the Dignity Index.
And so what, Tammy, has been like in that test pilot? What was the reaction from people who could use the score as far as using it as a tool to potentially use it as someone, like, is this someone I want to vote for? Mm-hmm. And then also, what was the reaction of politicians.
Okay. Well, and so, you know, our expectations weren't super high on the politicians. It was new, and it's, you know, my best case scenario was that someone would say something, they'd read the score, and then the next day they'd be, oh, I can't say that anymore. Yeah, that did not happen.
Okay.
Sorry. Next time. You know, what we found, honestly, and you both understand this, like, that nastiness wins. People yeah. click. You know, when you look at a headline, if it's a neutral or a positive headline, a lot of times that doesn't get anyone to listen or look or click or pay or donate. And so we didn't have super high expectations there. But what we did hope was that we could start a conversation. And we kept saying, whether any of the politicians change their behavior, we want to start a conversation. We did start a lot of conversations. We had a lot of interest from the media. But more importantly, we had a lot of community members and groups that came to us, including the student coders, who said, oh my gosh, I do that. I didn't realize that I'm a 4 or I'm a 3 on the scale, which 1 to 4 is the contempt side. And they would say, we had one student coder that said, I stopped listening to some podcasts because they were really just trying to humiliate people all the time. And I realized that that's not who I am. We would have other people from the group saying, you know, I went to see one of the women that we worked with said, I went to see To Kill a Mockingbird on stage last night. The whole thing I was looking at through this lens of the Dignity Index. She said, oh my gosh, that was a 6. That was a 7. That was a 2. And so this conversation that we've started, people like it's really sticky, and they start to realize that what they say can either lead them to dignity or contempt, and that often we don't realize that we're like part of the problem. I mean, I've known I was part of the problem for a long time, but now it's like, it's codified. I can see that I'm part of the problem.
And do you think for being part of the problem, because, you know, we have a platform, we have a radio show, but I sometimes, you know, there's punching up because part of our job is to talk about what politicians in our state are doing. Mm-hmm. And we also try to do it with humor, which also means sometimes we're making fun of people, but also you think about the comment section for people who also think they're punching up because they're just someone in the comment section. And like, how much of this translates to just having to stop and think for a second and like also being able to parse out what is valid criticism versus
right.
something that lacks dignity.
And you've just hit on a really, really important issue that we got a little bit of pushback on. But a lot of it was not even pushback, was, okay, I don't want to be nasty. I don't want to call someone a name. Name calling, for example, is a level 4. But that person, I believe their actions really are hurting the country. And I'm not going to sit by and just play nice with people when we need to take action. And so what we're working on now are some skill building tools or resources where we can say, how do you call out someone who's done something that by all accounts is pretty egregious? And do it in a way that still opens the door for problem solving. And, you know, part of that strategy is you attack the policy, right? This person, this is what you said. This is your policy. And this is what this is the impact of that policy on this population or on our country. And here's why I disagree with you. I think you're dead wrong on this. And here's why. But I can do that without saying you are the stupidest, you know, individual I've ever met, and you're ruining the country. When you start to say people are ruining the country, you know, that person is, that's when you start to lead down really to the 3 and the 2 level of the scale. And if you think about it, part of this is practical problem solving. And we see this in elections all the time. When you get an election, the Democrats hate people, Republicans hate people. How well are they going to be able to solve problems together?
Yep. Absolutely. All right. Well, I have so many more questions, but we have to go to a break. And so when we come back, I'd love to talk about it through what you guys learned through the pilot, how much it's useful to continue to have this be a tool to measure politicians, but also how much potentially pivoting towards starting those conversations and how we monitor almost each other. And so we'll talk about that when we come back with our guest, Tammy Pfeiffer, who is the Chief of Staff and Director of Operations at Unite, and talk a little bit more about the Dignity Index. I think it's something we should bring to Wisconsin. Maybe we'll adopt it on this show and we'll start giving people some scores.
Do I have to do it too?
maybe. All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make-
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Jane Matinair is here, and we are talking to Tammy Pfeiffer, who is the Chief of Staff and Director of Operations at Unite. And we are talking about the Dignity Index, which gives scores to speech and rates them as far as their dignity, as far as somewhere between contempt and what's the best you can be?
And number 8, dignity, top of the scale.
Top of the scale, dignity. And so with, as I said before, what do you see as this grows and it continues to iterate on what you found in the fall, what you want to use it for in future elections, what changes do you think will make it more applicable and useful?
So I want to go back to something that we talked about just a minute ago, and the fact that contempt sells.
Yeah.
People win elections with contempt. People get clicks. People are making a lot of money off of getting us to hate each other. Arthur Brooks, in his book, Love Your Enemies, he called it the outrage industrial complex. It works because we as consumers are supporting that industry, whether we want to or not, or whether we think we are or not. And so this, having this lens of dignity, shifts people's thinking. We got this fantastic social media post right after the political article went out. And this woman said, I just emailed an organization whose mission I support, but I don't like the way they vilify elected officials just to raise funds. I told them that they should match their statements to their own values and take a look at the Dignity Index and change the way that they communicate or that they market. And I thought, holy cow, you know, what if 100,000 people, what if 1 million people all of a sudden said, you know, I'm going to stop clicking on this. I'm going to stop supporting, you know, I'm going to stop supporting fundraising emails that tell me that, you know, the other side is ruining the country, because I know that's not true. We're all ruining the country together, or we can all elevate the country together. It's all of us. So part of what we're hoping to do is build this grassroots movement where people will start seeing through this lens of the Dignity Index and stop supporting media, stop supporting politicians, stop supporting like news cable shows that sell contempt every day, and say, I'm looking for something else. Because if we as a population shift, then the people that are selling this, they're going to have to shift with us. You know, the sponsors, they're going to have to find a different sponsor. We can do that. That's slow. I mean, it's an overwhelming task, but we're also looking at going from the top down. And we like to say, put dignity on the ballot in 2024. What if we run dignity as a candidate? So we will start scoring the presidential contenders. We'll start scoring some high profile Senate races. We'll start scoring races in some of the key states through this lens of the Dignity Index. So people can start to look at the difference between what it looks like to have a candidate that incites fear and hatred versus considers the dignity of everyone and says, I want to problem solve with the other side, so I can't call them names. I cannot keep treating the other side like this.
Go ahead, Jim.
You make such a good point, Tammy. I guess in certainly expecting this to take a very long time, because it will take a very long time. But there are politicians we have right now who would embrace their bad rating with a badge of honor and probably put it on a pin and walk around with it. Can we do anything in the interim while all the rest of us are changing?
Yeah, I had a student the other day, just last week, say, well, what if I like the fact that my candidate talks tough and he has a lot of contempt? What if he said, I might like that. People might like that. And I said, he said, what would you say to me and people like me? And I said, I would say, how's that working out for the country? How's that working for us right now? Because it is not. People see problems like immigration. And when you talk to people that have worked on this for years in Congress, they will privately tell you, we can solve this problem. But we're not solving it because I'm able to raise money off this problem.
That's so frustrating.
Right? I mean, we're the exhausted majority. The organization More in Common calls it the exhausted majority. And there is truth in that. Why would I solve a problem when that's how I stay in office? Why would I solve a problem when that's how I get really high ratings on my television show? Why would I solve that problem? It's making me too much money and I have too much power. And I know that's a little cynical take, but I'm sorry, there's a lot of truth in that. And so when people tell me that same thing, Jane, I just say, how is that working out for us right now? Because it's not. And then another student said, but what if I only have two choices and they both speak the same? We have two really less than desirable choices. And I said, all I can tell you is we've got to work to make sure we have a better choice. And we can't get a politician to run on dignity if he doesn't have the constituency to support him or her. So that's why we've got to do this top down and this bottom up movement to where I want to get, you know, a million people following us on social media who say, actually, I like this movement and I'm going to pledge to treat people more with dignity and try to use less contempt. And I'm going to actually support the media and politicians and organizations that do the same. Then you start to have a groundswell of people that will support that candidate who now says, actually, I think I could win that way. And she's going to run her platform based on those concepts.
So who of the media, what do you point to as being good examples of having high dignity? Because I think it's easy for us to think of the ones that don't, that are a one potentially. But as far as, especially in opinion, I'm asking bias, like for myself, basically, as far as like, who do you see as a leader of who's doing this well on the media side?
Mm. Yeah, I'm not prepared to answer that. I read something last week that just talked about how in the past, it was like your ABC, NBC, CBS, kind of those solid traditional news stations used to be the unbiased, and they used to be able to present you information without attacking someone. It's like, here's the news. It's Walter Cronkite. It's, you know, whomever. And that once we went to cable television, this was the article, I wish I could cite it for you, that said that's when we started to have, you know, both on the left and both on the right, we started to say, well, actually, you know, I'm going to make my mark. I'm going to name call a little bit. And I'm going to, you know, talk about how horrible those people are. You see that more on some of the cable shows than you did in the prime time, you know, the prime stations that we used to have. So I guess, generally speaking, I would lean back on, honestly, to local news. When I watch my local news, I don't see a lot of the name calling. On CBS or NBC, I don't see that.
Yeah.
But when you get into the niche, you know, news markets, you see more of that because you can.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we only have about a minute left, but I want to make sure that you can plug the website and where people can go take the pledge.
Fantastic. If you go to dignityindex.us or dignityindex.us, one of the first things you can do is take the dignity pledge. And we are calling this a new patriotism because the pledge simply says there's no America without democracy. And there's no democracy without healthy debate. And there's no healthy debate without dignity. And so we are asking people to pledge to do more to treat people with dignity and do their best not to treat people with contempt. You've signed up for that and you've joined our community. You'll get one or two messages from us every month and help us change the world.
Help us change the world. One score at a time. Tammy Piper, thank you so much for spending time with us. This was fascinating. I can't wait to hear how this grows. I'm going to take the pledge. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be back after the break.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.